Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 5, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. How many say, in vain for help, he on his God relies. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter number 5. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Exodus, in the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 29 through verse 51. Exodus 12, verses 29 through 51. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless and that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 12, beginning with verse 29 to the end. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord, as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste. Therefore they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now in the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover, and there shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, and when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you." Thus did all the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, and so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient, all-decreeing God, and thou who art with all the holy beings, in that place where no sin does dwell, where there are no consequences of sin, and thou who dost watch over all this universe, and that thou hast created and dost uphold day by day and moment by moment, and thou who also dost look upon thy church to make all things to be for their profit. We appear before thy countenance in this morning hour. When thou sayest, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And it is thy institution which thou wilt bless. And so we appear before thee. And thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us. And we are traveling to a great judgment, there to be judged of all that we have done, and whether it be good or whether it be evil. At those things which have come forth of our hands, those words which have come forth of our mouth, and those thoughts and meditations that do live within our hearts. Lord, who can stand in thy sight? For there is not one who can put his hand into his bosom and take it out clean. Oh, we are in need, and we are in great need of thy dear Son and that blood which has been shed upon that cross of Calvary. Oh, we are in need, and that that blood would become to our soul precious, necessary, and suitable for our own case, and that it would be applied unto the doorpost of our hearts personally, that we, with all our outward religion, may not still go lost on that great day of days, to be sent away from thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, and when we are together in this morning in thy house, and that thou may come to dwell among us, and that thou may raise up from the dead a new life. O thou dost say, a man must be born again. Lord, it cannot come from us. That is thy work, O, we beseech thee, for this miracle in this morning hour, that thou may go from heart to heart among us, while we are walking in all the pleasures, with all the desires after the vain things of this world, calling our lands after our own names, and going forward from day to day without God in this world, and with no concern and careless, lying sleeping under that coming judgment. When in any moment then it can become eternity for any one of us. Oh, that thou may impress this upon our hearts in this morning hour, that we may be awakened out of our death sleep, and that our hearts may be given to view the reality, that we may be given to cry out unto thee, because we have sinned against thee. That we may be given to see what we have done in our father Adam and what our own heart does agree with. That we may need to be turned, and that thou may draw us that we might run after thee. Lord, it is our only hope. It is our only expectation. We are dead by nature in sin and in trespasses. Thou commandest us, seek me, and seek me early. But, Lord, there is from our side no hope. And with all our responsibility, we shall go lost because we have no desire. Because there is no life, there is no ability. And we have cut it all off from our side.
and so righteously, and thou couldst cast us away. But there is yet hope in thee. Oh, that thou who hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world may look upon him in this morning hour, and so command thy Spirit to go forth from his place and to dwell amongst us in this day. Oh, that he may bring forth fruit from that blood that has been shed, that there may be an increase in the number of thy true church, and that men may be born in Zion, that the hands may begin to smite upon the breast, and the mouth to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, we beseech it of thee, because thou sayest, ask, and it shall be given thee. Oh, we beseech it of thee, because thou sayest, seek, and ye shall find, and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, that we may experience it then also in this morning hour, and that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place. Oh, thou hast promised thy Son a seed, and thou would serve him. Oh, take them, Lord. Take them from among us and from among our children. And wilt thou give that we may begin to love thee. Look upon all thy people. Lord, we beseech thee for them. Thou knowest where that they are, their place, their heart, all the perplexities, all the questions, the riddles, the warfare, the strife, and how everything can seem so wrong, backwards and upside down. Oh, that thou may remember them and give them a blessing in thy house of prayer. Oh, feed those whom thou hast made alive, and that thou mayest show that thou still bearest the favor in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, and may it be also as a denomination. Lord, thou knowest all the meetings that have taken place in the week that is now gone by. Oh, thou knowest all the concerns. Thou knowest all the needs. They are so many. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may remember us in mercy as a denomination. O Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou which is that which thou hast given unto our forefathers, and that thy truth that thou hast taught them in their hearts, and that thou hast given them to write, and that we may read out of those standards which thou hast given unto us through their hands, based upon thy holy word. Oh, we beseech thee that it may be precious in the eyes of many among us. Oh, that we may never depart from that truth, that the world may not have such a place in our hearts and such a place in our lives, but that that truth may so bind us together as it has bound together our fathers, that they could leave all the world behind them, and that they may be so united with that one way wherein thou dost care for an afflicted and a poor people that shall trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, teach it to us, Lord. Teach it to the rising generation. Teach it to parents, to fathers, and to mothers, and that we may have a desire in our hearts, and that we may flee from all vanity, and from all that is sinful, evil, and all that is of Satan and the devil, and all that we may have a desire to draw near unto the true and the living God. Remember parents, O Lord, help. And the bringing up of children, give the fear of thy name amongst our youth. Remember thou all the afflicted and the sick, and all those that have become old and ailing, have difficulties in the needs of the minds and of the bodies. Wilt thou supply from above? And wilt thou look upon all those that bring thy word on thy Sabbath day? Oh, for us we stand before it in this day. All thy servants, Lord, wilt thou help them? Send more servants in thy vineyard. Our sister flock called one of thy servants from the Netherlands. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, could it please thee to remember us? And could it please thee to bind this call upon his heart, that he may have to come over to help, and that thou may gladden us yet with thy deeds? Wilt thou be with us in this morning? Oh, help us. Help us to bring thy word. Lord, take away all that does hinder, all the things of this world, all the concerns that can so weigh us down. And could it please thee to make it easy, easy to bring thy word, but also that thy spirit may come in, that that word may penetrate our hearts, a serious word that we have to consider in the way of thy providence in this hour. Oh, a word, oh, we beseech thee, Lord, and that thou may send an arrow, that it may go into the heart, that it might strike between the joints of the harness, whereby we seek to protect ourselves. But wilt thou bring it in, that we may cry out, carry me out of the battle, for I am sore wounded. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Help us then. Forgive all that is sinful and keep us from sin. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalter number 87, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, and the last collection today is for our school. Jehovah, from his throne on high, looks down with clear and searching eye on all that dwell below. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 87. Congregation, there are many instances in the Holy Word of God of the fearful judgments of the Lord upon the wicked. And that is not only in the midst of this world, but upon the wicked also in the midst of the true church of God. We read, the apostle says, that they all passed through the sea. That was the children of Israel. And they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. And they all ate that same spiritual meat. And they drank that from that spiritual rock. But we read, with many of them, God was not well pleased. And he overthrew them in the wilderness. He brought his judgments upon the wicked, even in and amongst his own people. They committed fornication. 23,000 of them the Lord slew in one day. And why? Why are those judgments written in the revelation that God has given to us in His Word? The apostle says, for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, he says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What does Jude write? And of some having compassion, have compassion, making a difference, and some, he says, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Thus, last time, then we have heard something of the mercies of the Lord among His own people. How that the Lord has provided for His people. How that the Lord has spared His people from the judgments. Oh, has it moved us? Has there been any effect? Has the goodness of the Lord, as we may bring it out of His Word, brought us upon our knees? Today we consider the judgments. The judgments of the Lord upon the wicked. Thus, if the mercies of the Lord do not move us, then the Lord has also written something else in His holy word. Oh, then that His judgments may move our hearts, that we might seek Him while it is still possible. Let us therefore consider the words of our text in this morning, which you can find in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Exodus 12, and thereof in the 29th and the 30th verses. Exodus 12, verses 29 and 30. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in the land of Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. So far, the words of our text. The Egyptians are judged. First, the Egyptians' firstborn smitten. Second, the Egyptians' cry of distress. Third, the Egyptians' spoiled. The Egyptians are judged. First, the Egyptians' firstborn smitten. Second, the Egyptians' cry of distress. Third, the Egyptians' spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Thus, congregation, Moses is commanded to speak unto that mighty king of Egypt. And he comes to this great ambassador upon the earth with the word of the Lord. He obeys. Time and time again, Moses and Aaron go in unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt. No, it was not once, but it was many times that Pharaoh has heard the voice of the Lord from the mouth of his servants. Thus he was warned. Are you warned too? How many times have you been warned once? Or have we been warned many times? Warned about sin. Warned about the evil of sin. Warned about the consequences of sin. Warned concerning the punishment of sin. Have we also been warned? Pharaoh will not hearken. And when Pharaoh will not hearken, then the Lord goes further. And then the Lord gives Pharaoh to feel something. He gives Pharaoh to feel something of the strength of his mighty arm. Thus we see step by step all of the plagues. They are coming upon Pharaoh, upon all his people, and upon all that land wherein he is the governor. And the Lord of heaven and of earth to show himself to be stronger than all the king and his servants, not only, but also stronger than all the gods and that the Egyptians do serve. And yet, all those judgments of the Lord, they do not make Pharaoh to bow before him. But he continues to harden his heart. And now finally, Pharaoh receives his last warning. It is a warning about his own firstborn. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. Congregation, what a warning. The Lord hid nothing. The Lord told the Egyptians everything, down to the last detail, what was going to take place in their land unto them. Was the Lord obliged? No. No, he did not need to warn them. The Lord, he could have just brought all of this great catastrophe upon them without saying one word. But what does the Lord do? And the Lord gives them an opportunity that they may turn from all their false and evil way. And the long suffering of the Lord, and that is showing itself unto the children of the Egyptians. Last time we spoke of the Passover, that Passover that has taken place right there in the midst of the land, has taken place even in that land of Goshen. What was the reaction of the Egyptians? Did they mock with this? Oh, we do not know. Probably there were many that did not know anything about it, because there are many in this world to whom the gospel does not come. There are many in this world who never hear of the Lamb of God, who never hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, who never hear of a way of escape from the judgments of the Lord. Have you heard of him? There are many that do never hear. Probably there were many among the Egyptians that knew nothing about it. Probably there were also many that did know something about it. They were there in the midst of them. They were their neighbors. They had seen it, the sacrifices, and then they had taken that blood and they had stricken that blood upon the lintel and upon the doorposts. And then they said, what is this? What foolishness. And then they have perhaps mocked. Is that what we do too? Is that what you think too, young people? You go from day to day. You are in school. You go about your labors. You go to college. You go to university. And we have all the material things in this world. We can see them. We have actions in this world. We have reactions in this world. There are things that we may know because we see them. We can understand them with our mind. And then we come to church. Then we hear something else. Then we hear about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then we hear about faith, how that Lamb of God is received in the heart of the true people of the Lord. And what do we say? All this I do not understand. Oh, that foolish people, maybe we say. They hold on to things that they cannot see. Or do we also mock? The Lord has warned the Egyptians. And finally, after the long suffering of the Lord, that day is coming. The time is arriving. The long-suffering of the Lord does not last forever. But that day arrived for the first world. It arrived in the 600th year of Noah's life. In the second month, in the 17th day of the month, where the heavens opened and the fountains of the great deep, they were broken up. It was on one day, the day before, then everything seemed that it was going to continue on as it was. And one day later, the Lord came in the fulfillment of his judgments. Oh, that day came, that one day came for Sodom and Gomorrah. We read the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained fire and brimstone from the Lord out of heaven. Oh, that day before, everyone continuing on and thinking that the next day that shall be as this day and much more abundant. But it was not so, because the threatened judgments of the Lord, they came upon a certain day. We read of Jerusalem, how that the Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And he said to the children of Israel, to the Jewish nation, and that their end was coming upon them. And we can read in the history books how that day did come. Oh, God is not a man that he should lie. Not concerning his promises, not concerning his judgments. Oh, hath he said it and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to us, where the apostle says, not willing that any should perish, but that they should all come to repentance. So that they came for the Egyptians. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. At midnight, do you ever lay congregation upon your bed in the night and meditate upon the judgments of the Lord? What a fearful thing, the daytime and that is light, children, but the nighttime that is dark and that is bringing with it its own fears. And we can read how that the Lord, he has chastised his people in the day. But we can also read in God's word how that the Lord has punished the wicked in the night. And how that the Lord often speaks in his word of coming in the night. That he speaks about death that is coming as a thief in the night. What does the Lord Jesus say? At midnight, a cry is heard, the bridegroom cometh. What does he say? This night, thou fool, thy soul shall be required of thee. What does he say? That the Lord cometh in an hour when ye think not. That is, an hour when we are sleeping. And it came to pass at midnight. That means, not necessarily at midnight, literally, but suddenly.
That means when we are least expecting that he should come. That means at a time that we are not looking for his coming at midnight. And then he speaks also of the dreadfulness of coming in the night, which brings already its own fears with it. Oh, no matter how much that we are warned, then that night shall come to each and every one as a great surprise, sooner than we think. And it came to pass at midnight. The Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. Not a single soul was excluded from the judgments of the Lord. We make a difference between the classes in this world. But with the Lord, there is no respect of persons. No, it is the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on the throne, unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill. No one, let us never deceive ourselves as if we will be excluded from those awful judgments of the Lord. The Lord preserveth, we read, all that love him, but all the wicked, he says, he will destroy. And then he goes even further. What do we read? And all the firstborn of the cattle, so that also the creation of the Lord, who have never sinned, children. Oh, do you see those cattle sometimes suffer? Oh, they have never sinned. And yet that creation of God that is sharing in the judgments of the Lord against the sin of man. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. It is the performance of the awful sentence of the sovereign judge of heaven and of earth. Oh, there comes a time when it cannot be withheld anymore. But that angel of death that is dispatched from heaven to carry out this dread work, and his sharp sword that is unsheathed, and it is bathed in blood. And what is now the consequence? We see that in our second thought, the Egyptians' cry of distress, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. Can you understand that? Yes, you say that I can understand that he rose up in the night. Who would not? No, congregation, that is not what we mean. That is not what we mean when we say, can you understand that? What do we mean? We mean this. He rose up in the night. And what does that mean? That there came a point in that night that he had laid himself down. Can you understand that? That was a man with all his servants and with all his people that lay under the curse of the Lord, that lay under the sentence of death for their rebellion, for their disobedience, for their wickedness. Here was a people. They have seen the hand of the Lord step by step coming against them. Step by step, they may see that the judgments of the Lord, they are increasing in their land against them. No, this was not something that was just done in a corner. And then we hear Moses and Aaron, they are coming to warn them, to warn them, to warn them what was going to take place. And yet, the Egyptians laid themselves down to sleep. They closed their eyes. And they took some rest. They went to sleep. But congregation, it could not remain that way. No, it could not remain that way, and it did not remain that way. What do we read? And Pharaoh rose up. He rose up in the night. He and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There had to come a day that Pharaoh and all his people could not remain sleeping anymore. All their rest would be taken away. The rest of the Egyptians that was a false rest. It was a temporary rest. It was a rest that had no basis, had no foundation. They had no right to that rest. Why not? Because they had sinned against the Lord. And therefore it was a rest that could not last. No sooner that storm would come upon them, and then all their rest would be taken away, because that rest was built upon a foundation of sand. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. Oh, before sin came into this world, there was no crying. There was no tears. There was no sorrow. But how different that it has now become in the world. And there was a great cry in Egypt. Why? Why? Why did they cry? Did they cry because they had sinned against God? Did they weep tears of sorrow? Did they weep tears of remorse? Because they were so sorry for what they had done? Oh, you understand that. That is not the character of their weeping. No, there is not a single tear over their sin. But they are now crying. They are crying aloud under the judgments of the Lord. They are now crying aloud under the punishment of their sin. Oh, they cry in agony. They cry in fear. They cry in distress. They cry in despair. Oh, the true church also cries in this world. We say that sometimes, do we not? Oh, the weeping that takes place in the heart, in the life, in the inner chambers of that true people of the Lord. But it is such a different weeping. And what is so different about that weeping? Oh, that weeping that has such a sweetness in it. Cannot explain that, but they would not exchange that weeping. They would not exchange one of those tears for all the goods of this world. Why? Oh, how can there be sweetness in weeping? That is because there is repentance. Repentance that is living in the heart. And repentance, congregation, that is the first step of returning to God. And it is so good to return unto God. And therefore that people that are weeping over sin, oh, they experience a great sweetness in that weeping. But how different it was now with these Egyptians. A great cry in the land of Egypt. Is there sweetness in it? No. Is there hope in that cry? There is no hope in that cry at all. Why? There is no repentance in it. There is no turning in that cry. It is a cry that is too late. It is a cry after all the callings. It is a cry after all the warnings have been rejected. It is a cry that is wrested out of their despondency. And there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. No. No, not one did escape the judgments of the Lord. There was a time that Pharaoh, that he sat upon his throne, and that as the sovereign in the land of Egypt, he made a decree. And what was that decree? He said, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river. And now Pharaoh, he is going to answer for his deed. All congregation, we may be so sure. We may be so utterly sure that our sin is going to find us out. Sin has consequences. Sin has wages. And Pharaoh will now receive the wages for his sin. How is it with his servants? His servants, they have carried out that wicked decree of Pharaoh. And they were guilty. They may never have hearkened unto their earthly king because it was an immoral deed before the God of heaven and of earth. And though they are commanded from the highest sovereign in this world, they cannot come out from under the commandment of the Lord. And therefore those servants, though they had pressure from above in the hierarchy of this world, they are guilty. And there was a great cry in Egypt. All of Egypt, they were quiet when all those children, they were being cast into that river. All of Egypt, they did not move their tongue against the decree of their own king. They did not remove him from the throne. When the children of Israel, they did suffer under that great persecution. And when they had no power against that great enemy that had come against them. No, God is not unrighteous, who taketh vengeance. Every one of our iniquities, they are written in his book. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Oh, we cannot comprehend the distress that was now in this land. Children, when someone passes away in our families, and then we all go to pay a visit, because we will all show our sympathy. How was it that night? How was it in that night in that land of Egypt? Oh, then there was none of this. None of this. Because there was no one to give comfort. Everyone did mourn under that same judgment. Oh, how righteous is the judgment of the Lord. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, I will now arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Oh, when the Lord is rising up out of his place, then that people are going to look to the mountains to fall on them and to the hills to cover them. And there was a great cry in the land of Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And now finally, Pharaoh turns. At least, congregation, for a moment, he turns for a little time. And now Israel may go. No, we say that wrong. Israel must go. He thrust them out of his land. And he cannot make them to go out fast enough. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night. He cannot wait until the morning. And he said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone." And not only so, but also the Egyptians, we read, and they were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, "We be all dead men." That was exactly the way that Moses had foretold it unto Pharaoh. "And there shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. And all thy servants shall come down unto me and bow themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out." What do we think, congregation, of the warnings that the Lord gives to us in his word? Do we believe that there shall not be one jot and one tittle of that word which is not fulfilled? Indeed, it may appear so. But everything will be fulfilled in its time, because the Lord, he is working for the salvation of his church. And that enemy, he appears so often, so much mightier and stronger than a people. But one day it is going to be different. When that word of God is fulfilled, "Take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said. There was not a single restriction anymore. Nothing. It is just the opposite. They are going to give unto the children of Israel everything that they need to take with them. But let us sing. Psalter number 4, 1, 2, and 3. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 4.
And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Boys and girls, maybe you say that was stealing. Because the children of Israel knew that they were not coming back. But it was not stealing. Why was it not stealing? In the first place, because of who commanded them to do it. And who commanded them to do it? That was the Lord Himself. And who owns actually all those things? That is not men. No, they are lent to men for a little while.
but it is all owned by the Lord. The cattle upon 1,000 hills, they are his. You have cattle? They are not your cattle. You say they are my cattle. Are they your cattle? No. It says, the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they are the Lord's. You may have those cattle a little while. You may have your house for a little while. And that house that will probably stand longer than you live. And then the Lord will give it to someone else. What fools we are, aren't we? When we labor to have all the things in this world and they are not ours anyway. No, and the Lord divides to every man severally as he will in this world. And now what does the Lord say? He says that those things that the Egyptians, that he gave to those Egyptians for a little while, now it is the turn for Israel. There is another reason it was not stealing. Because they owed it to them. Why did they owe it to them? They have been working. They have been working for many, many years. And how much did they get paid? Nothing. Nothing. They had to do it all for nothing. And now what does the Lord say? No, they shall not do it all for nothing. No, now they are going to get paid. Now I will make you give it to them. Oh, do you see what the Lord does? His people, they stay poor. They stay poor, poor, poor. And in the end, then they receive everything. They receive everything in one moment. No, there was not stealing. Why not? Oh, the promise of the Lord that had to be fulfilled. What did the Lord say to Abraham? He said, afterward, they shall come out with great substance. What did the Lord say to Moses? They shall not go out empty. No, that was not stealing. Why not? Well, because they were in a warfare. What was the purpose of the king of Egypt? What was the purpose of the Egyptians? That was to destroy the children of Israel. Throw them in the river. You make them work so hard that the numbers of their people, they will decrease instead of increasing. Thus, they were at war. And what are now the laws of the nations in a warfare? All those that conquer, they shall spoil their enemies. And therefore now the Lord, he gives them to have favor in the sight of the Egyptians, that they lend them such things as they require. Is that not a miracle? They did not have to fight for it. No, all the Lord had to do was turn their heart. That is so simple. The Lord, he has the heart of all men in his hands. All the Lord had to do is turn their hearts, and all they had to do was ask, and all the Egyptians, they would give them everything that they needed. And the Lord fills that people with a superstitious fear that they do things that they would never have done otherwise. Thus, the Lord spoils the world that he may give all that is necessary unto his people for their journey. He is able to do it, being Almighty God. And he is willing, our Father say, being a faithful Father. Congregation, the Egyptians. There was a people that lay under the curse. Under the curse of the Lord. And yet, they went to sleep at night. How is that now with us? By nature, we also lie under the curse. Because the law of the Lord that also testifies against us, that is from the very day of our conception of our birth, born and conceived in sin. And that is now the way that we are fast hastening through this life. Time like an ever-rolling stream that is bearing all its sons away. And then lying under the curse. But we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Say, minister, I believe it. Is that right? We can prove we do not. How can we prove that? Because we go to sleep in the night. And if we would believe it only, congregation, how many restless and sleepless nights would we not suffer in this world if we only truly believed that we lay under the curse? But we take our rest, but that rest that is not always going to remain. No, one day we are going to be awakened out of our sleep. And then we shall also arise in the night. We will be startled, startled out of a sleep in sin. When death creeps into our windows in the night when we are least expecting it. And there shall not be one exempt. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, what a cry. What a cry shall be on that day, that judgment day. Who shall be able to fathom it? The Bible says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Oh, what fruit. What fruit to all the dealings of the Lord. The Lord had dealings with Pharaoh. There was no fruit. What fruit now do all the dealings of the Lord have in our life? What is the fruit in our life? Each one personally, young and old, of the warnings which we have received in our life. What is the fruit of the warnings that we have received out of that holy word of God, of the warnings which we read therein, of the warnings which we hear in God's house, which we hear from others? What is the fruit of the callings? What is the fruit of the mercies of the Lord that He has shown to us in our life? What is the fruit of the gracious dealings of the Lord that we have experienced in our life? What is the fruit of the cross providences of the Lord? The afflictions the Lord has sent to us. What is the fruit when the Lord evidently shows to us that His judgments are increasing in our land? What is the fruit? When we can see all around us that there are such dark clouds, they are hovering over us, and that that wind is already blowing so very, very quickly. What is now the fruit? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with Him as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. But that day of the Lord that will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens they shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements they shall burn up with a fervent heat. Sometimes Pharaoh confessed his sins. Do you do that too sometimes? Yet he went lost. And then it was evident that it wasn't true. It was only for the fear of punishment. Sometimes Pharaoh prayed. Do you do that too? What did he pray for? That the judgments would be taken away. Do you do that too? And then the judgments were taken away. Has the Lord also given you to experience such a way in your own life? And yet he went lost. Sometimes Pharaoh turned a little, for a little while. Do you do that too? But then he went back again. Why? Because his heart never turned. And then what did Pharaoh dare to ask in the end? When he thrust them out, and when he said, "Be gone," he said, "Bless me also." Is that what we think also to ask in the end and to receive from the Lord? It is impossible. It is impossible. Cannot be. Why can it not be? Because there is nothing in that request to satisfy the offended justice of God. There is one thing that distinguished between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And what was that thing? You know it, children. One thing. Will you remember that? It was blood that was applied to the doorposts of their houses. Do you still despise it? Do you still despise it? That blood that has been shed upon that cross of Calvary, do you still despise it? Do you see no form? Do you see no comeliness in that blood? There are two things that will be fatal to us. That is to despise that blood and to despise the application of that blood. Congregation, seek it. Oh, seek it before that it is forever and forever too late. Oh, the Lord, take away, the Lord, remove from us all our rest. our false rest until that day that we are founded, that we are grounded upon this solid foundation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, how awful, awful shall that day be for us and our children when there is no blood. Oh, how great that cry of distress in that land. Lord, we are this day warned. Oh, may this warning that comes to us in the way of thy providence, as we consider Sabbath by Sabbath these chapters out of thy word. Oh, today we are warned by thee in thy word. Oh, we beseech thee that it may never be to the hardening of our hearts as it was unto Pharaoh of old, who was destroyed by thee. Oh, break our hearts, Lord. Cause us to cry out. Cause us to smite upon our breast. Bring us safely to our homes. Keep us, bring us with desire in thy house this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter number 91, the first four stanzas. God guards the good with watchful eye, his ear attentive to their cry against the wicked, sets his face from earth their memory to erase. Stanzas 1 through 4 of Psalter 91.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.